Making a living from farming fruit and vegetables on 7.5 acres and employing 7 people in the west of Ireland, it can be done. And it's exactly what Aoife and Joe Riley are doing right now on their farm in Holymount, County Mayo. In this pod, she tells me how they do it. Aoife Riley, thank you so much for joining me today. So you have 7.5 acres in County Mayo. Perhaps for those of us who haven't been to your farm, can you describe your farm, what it looks like?
Sure. So if you were to walk along through the gate into the farm, you probably start to see there's a few plants starting to regrow. We have an experimental no-dig area that we started last year. So we're trying out no tillage in that section. We've got 5 commercial size polytunnels then. In one section, there's an area of long-term green manure. So it's a multi-species, and that's being grazed by chickens. That's land that's having a rest. And then you'll enter the field scale area. Carrots, parsnips, turnips, kale, Brussels sprouts, purple sprouting broccoli, beetroot, leeks.
And you and your partner, Joe, you're running this market garden with 7 employees at the moment. So what do you think makes it a productive farm?
I think there's a few things. I think the quantity or the diversity of vegetables and fruit that we grow means there's an increased need for hands on deck, I guess. Like, I think it could be a lot less people if we focused on a few crops, but our intention is to spread things as widely as possible. So we've got a full range of Irish fruit and vegetables, as much as is possible, available to people in Mayo. But also, another reason is that it's a very labor intensive business, and we have a few different alleys of sales. Like, we sell through markets, we sell through restaurants, we do a supermarket. So there's people on the road, there's people doing the markets. We've got our eggs in a lot of baskets, I guess.
So you spread your load, you have a lot of different avenues to market. Do you think this is important to your business?
Well, it's proven to be anyway. When 2020 in spring, when the first lockdowns hit, our veggie box, which we had been getting a bit fed up of because it's very labor intensive, packing people's orders, and we were tempted to get rid of it, but we ended up having to launch a website, and it quadrupled within a few weeks while the restaurants dropped off. So I think that really taught us to try and be resilient by doing a multitude of things.
And do you think, like, meeting your customers is a really important part of the business as well?
Oh, for us it is. It's really nice. You come back energized from the market. And I think it's really good to have a face-to-face interaction, probably for customers too, because then they know their farmers, they can come and ask us if they're growing stuff and they have issues. It's a nice it's a nice way to support the food growing movement, I think, to be there to take people's questions, but also to, like, be there and to supply as much as we can, to tell people about seasonal eating. One of our crew who works on the market is a chef, and she's really passionate about explaining what to do with new things. It's fun and it keeps it interesting. And I think that's what's really important. If we weren't engaged in what we were doing, we'd probably be bored.
Yes, it's really nice to enjoy your work day as well, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I think so. People are important, and people's energy that are important.
Yeah. So if we were to get down to the kind of the how you do it, You have quite a lot of different types of vegetables, you were saying, but do you do them in rotation? Do you have cover crops? How do you kind of keep the soil kind of fertile enough?
So we're a certified organic farm. So part of that is you have to have a good rotation system in play. So we will rotate. Our land is divided into, well, it's not literally divided, but in our heads, we have a map where we've divided it into five sections, which could be expanded to six if we want to. And we rotate crops. So we'll do like, we'll start the year with a heavy feeding crop like potatoes, and then we go into brassicas, which is the second heaviest feeding, and then we'll go into some light feeding crops, and then we'll go into green manure for a few years to give it a rest. So the key thing for us is to not expect too much from the land. And also, if there's no crops in the soil, then we want to have a cover crop in there, because from what we've learned, the key to having a healthy soil is to try to have living roots in the soil as much as possible year round.
So you have your crops in rotation, you have your green manures and your cover crops, and do you put a lot of focus on good compost for these roots, for these soils as well, to build up fertility?
Yeah, well, that's the key, I guess, is to spend a lot of time creating a good compost, turning it enough time. So we'll give it a few turns. For the compost we use inside, we operate no-till style. So we will, in the polytunnels, so that gets extra turns. But for the outside one, we actually tend to leave it for a while after turning it, so it builds up a little bit of a good soil biology. And we also use biodynamic preparations in our compost. Why is a good question? I guess it's something we like to experiment with, and it's given us good compost so far. But I think you can't farm holistically unless you consider some form of intention or energy around the farm. I think that's part of it too. And the biodynamics helps us feel like we're creating a good energy for the compost. It's what you spread everywhere in the farm. So good components is absolutely key. But also, I think there's no harm in throwing a bit of good energy into that too.
And building your soil fertility, how important is it to the actual business, do you think?
Well, the soil is our business. If we diminish our soils now, like after 6-7 years of using them, then it's going to take you years to replenish what you've done. If you can mine them as you go and very carefully look at it like a balanced system, and that your investment is in your soil, I don't ever think you can say that your soil isn't your most valuable most valuable part of your business.
You and Joe work, you enhance a lot of the nature on your land alongside, your crops and your polytunnels and stuff. Why does nature add value to your product as well? And why do you do it?
Why do we do it? I think it adds value. I think it's important for so many different reasons. One, nature is beautiful to work in. If you're working in bare fields, I don't think you get the full appreciation of that. If you're working in a biodiverse system, I think it feels good. You see flowers start to appear on things. I think it's all part of the system. And when you see it in action, I think you feel like this is a balanced ecosystem that we're aiming for. You've got pollinators growing. We plant a lot of flowers but for pollination, which is a business reason, but also for beauty, for keeping pests and predator balance within the ecosystem of the farm. Hedgerows for nature, it's wonderful to see new birds appear. And if you've got, like, we try to aim for native hedgerows where we can. And I think it brings an energy to the farm that's more holistic than if you're looking at a huge 40-acre farm with ploughed fields. It's not the same system, and it's not what we'd ever aim for. Whether it's financial or not, it doesn't really matter. It's an investment in the whole system, and it's staying healthy. And I think that's important, that we look at the farm as a whole rather than as a productive piece of field.
Yeah, and so Aoife, you are productive in terms of produce. You have a lot of diverse kind of produce. You have a lot of biodiversity. I know that you have three ponds. You have a lot of mixed hedgerows, variety of trees. You also are, you know, producing lots of local employment. But ultimately, does it work for you economically?
I love this question. I really do. Like, my fascination about the whole farming on a small scale is, how does it work economically? For us, it does. It hasn't always. I mean, we're 7 years into farming. I'd say it was year five before me and Joe really could feel confident that we will get properly paid for our work, I guess. Our intention isn't to make huge profits, however. Our intention is to make a living. And I think a living's got to be interpreted in a way that includes lifestyle as well as financial. We calculated what we need to cover our weekly expenses plus some savings and holidays. I mean, we don't go abroad, but it's nice to be able to take a week off with the kids. We get free food. We have a wonderful environment for our kids to grow up in. I have the freedom to homeschool our three kids while working part-time on the farm because of this. And the people who work here are incredible people to have around us. And all that's very valuable. We make enough money that we're happy with, and we can pay everybody. That's what we aimed for. And yeah, this year and last year, it's really worked out for us in terms of lifestyle as well.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I mean, for a lot of people, they would be particularly hard years because, you know, there was obviously the foundations were shook a bit, both with COVID and now with inflation. Do you feel that kind of current pressure with your business? How are you dealing with kind of the problems around inflation, or is that not really hit your business?
I'd say we're a bit slow to jump at it. We play around with it at tea time a little bit, like, as in, I think the cost of employing people is likely to go up, that maybe we will have to increase some prices, that maybe as a result we might, I don't know, lose some customers. We're still looking at what is manageable, you know, to and fair, I guess, for everyone. COVID didn't hit us hard. It changed our way of working more so. In some ways, it was probably our busiest time ever, because people really turned to organic local vegetables. And maybe that was things people were reading about health. Or maybe people were cooking more. I don't know, but we certainly were busier. This year has, or last year actually, had leveled off. It's kind of brought us back to a level playing field, that we kind of know what to sow for a little bit again. We could have sold any amount of fruit and vegetables during the two COVID years, I think. But this year, I think we can plan a little easier. Things are steadier, I guess.
The kind of it's a new norm as such has come back, and just kind of seeing where you fit into that. But interesting enough, you didn't lose any of your employees. You just had to adapt a bit for those couple of years.
We had to take on more people, actually, because we were increasing our veggie box scheme, which is what people were choosing to do a lot more. The market stayed constant, and we didn't lose our markets, thank goodness. We were quite lucky. We could keep going all the way through.
Do you think your type of business is only profitable if you work really hard? I mean, is it quite labor intensive? Or, I mean, you kind of sound like you're quite ha- it's very manageable in your situation. What do you think?
Oh, Bridget, yeah, this is what everyone visualizes. They see farming as being drudgery. And this is what my mom thought, because she came from a farming family and hated it. I told her we were going to start growing vegetables, and she asked me to reconsider. It was her experience of being in a large family and living on a farm, and I can see where she's coming from. Our idea is to try to show people that it doesn't have to be that bad, and that there is a balance there. Now, that's not to say we haven't worked super hard over the last few years, but last year and this year, we've been good at taking time off, and we've a really good team on the farm as well, so we can. And I think that's key. If you work by yourself, if it was me and Joe running this farm single-handedly, I think we would probably be super busy, find it very hard to take time off. And I think we might get disillusioned. I'm not sure. I can't really say how that works. But yeah, there was a few years of very hard work. And now it is hard work, but it's very balanced too, I think.
Do you think the future of the market is going to more towards your type of farms, like your, like maybe more niche farms, more chemically free vegetable growers? What do you think?
I'd like to think so. I think it depends on what goes on in the public, what people are discussing. If just climate change is on the tip of people's tongues, and I think it does, because small farms have the ability to like be super resilient, to be a positive force, I want to say against climate change, but I don't want to say against, I want to say for sequestering carbon, for a very healthy way of farming. I think that might become a discussion point, but I'm not sure. I'd like to think smaller farms, people growing in their back gardens. I think community would be a wonderful thing to see pop up out of this. And I think it has a little bit from COVID. I think there's a lot of small businesses seem to have appeared a little bit. And maybe it's people either working from home or not having the work that they had, have branched into different areas. Whether that'll continue or not with inflation and the pressures that brings, I don't know. But yeah, I do. Yeah, we're the future. We're the future. Yeah. That's it.
Aoife, where would you start advising a farmer if they want to put together a plan for a productive market garden? Like, what are the main things to consider?
A little bit of investment at the start. You will need a packing shed and a polytunnel. We started out with a quarter acre and one polytunnel and built a shed. And we had a tiny market. I think we might have done 10 to 15 veggie boxes in a small market, 300 to 500 euro a week in sales. And that's actually fine. Do you know, it's quite manageable. And in some ways I look back and go, oh, we could go back to that. It mightn't be that different either, but the work would be in it. Do you know, I think that's the point where you're like, yes, you're going to put a lot of work into this. I guess we're sort of in a funny scale because we have field scale and we've got market garden size. We're kind of halfway between the two, but we're not quite big enough to be a wholesaler and not quite small enough to be a market gardener. One of my key things that I picked up over the few years was that a very manageable scale is one person, 1 acre, with hand tools and maybe a two-wheel tractor, and focus on high-value crops like salads and spinach. And that's where I would always tell someone to start. Beyond that, you can expand into a greater diversity, but you need more machinery if you're going field scale. You're going to do root vegetables like carrots and make them profitable. It would be very hard to do that on a very small scale.
What challenges have you faced along the way, and what would you kind of advise people to kind of avoid if possible?
Expanding too big, too fast. We did that in 1 year of our business, and it was quite a stressful year. We probably came close to throwing in the towel that year. We went from a manageable 1/4 acre to 2 acres in production, and it was alongside family things. We had a baby as well. Losing polytunnels to storms, we lost a polytunnel to a storm in our second year. We just figured put it up, so kind of to make sure you have infrastructure in place first, like windbreaks. It's very hard to understand how vulnerable a polytunnel is in a storm until you're out there trying to defend it, and then you know.
So kind of set up your boundaries, your windbreaks.
Set up your boundaries, your windbreaks. Obviously, your living hedges as windbreaks are the best, but it takes a few years. So we've always kind of put in a windbreak by our hedges to give the polytunnels a few years until the hedges are grown enough.
And is there anywhere in particular like people can go to get support and advice for this type of farming?
Funnily enough, there is and there isn't. When we started out, I couldn't figure that out myself. I didn't know where to look. Now there seems to be a little bit more happening. There's a small growers network, and we started going to their farm walks probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I think they're fairly newly started up then. You go to other farms around the country, and it's a great way to kind of see what other people are doing and to have chats. And I think that's probably the key support, is other farmers who are doing the thing you envision doing. There's also a great apprenticeship scheme. So it's a paid apprenticeship, and it's with the Organic Growers of Ireland, where you work for it can be 6 to 9 months on an organic farm, and you get a whole season of growing under your belt. I think that's a great opportunity for someone who's interested but free enough to go and trial that life before they start.
Is there one memory that stands out for you that, you know, with your farm working alongside nature, is there kind of one thing that you go, wow, I love my office?
I still think we're early stages. Like, I keep checking. We have a pond dug in a sort of wooded area in the back corner of our field where it's quite naturally wet. So we decided to make it into a little wetland area. And it's linked to a woodland that's on someone else's land further away. So we kind of had hoped we'd see a lot of stuff come in quickly. I keep checking it for frog spawn, but we haven't seen it yet. We're waiting on an owl.
They're the two things I'm waiting on in my
I know. And I think it's a long-term thing too. I think hedges don't take off in a second. And we started with a very blank field, surrounded mostly by very blank fields. It is a long-term investment. Yeah, and we do sometimes spot. We have a bird of prey that sometimes pops up, but he's not here all the time. We have a few pheasants that we sometimes see as well. It's not groundbreaking yet,
no.
But I have great hope that if we continue to do this and we continue to plant more plants every year. I suppose the one thing, and it's actually quite small, Bridget, is we noticed that we have a natural... The system almost balances itself for the most part. Like, if we see that we have a problem with, say, like a pest on a crop or something, normally, because you want to protect your crop, you call up your people and say, is there anything organically that we can use? Any, you know, you can introduce, there's a lot of organic options for things like this, like the you can get buy-in predators, but we've always kind of chosen to wait and watch, and we've never seen an issue become so big that we've lost a crop over. And I think that's kind of where we're at now, is things have seem to be self-balancing. And that was our aim, to have a self-balancing ecosystem. I might be wrong yet, but so far so good.
How does it make you feel to kind of see that cycle coming back on your farm?
Nervous. The first place we start off with nervousness, you're like, oh no, I don't want to lose this crop. And then you kind of just relax into it a little bit. You're like, we're doing this for a reason. If we go interfering, we upset a balance. And to just watch things come okay is very reassuring. It's very reassuring as a new farmer that you don't have to always jump in straight away with a solution that you buy. You know, you can just observe, and maybe you do have to lose a crop every now and then to understand something. But I think there's a great value in having predators on the farm and not being scared of that, and having weeds on the farm and not being scared of that, and having the bad guys around and trusting that the bad guys come with good guys too. You just don't always see them. It's very
rewarding, probably, to kind of see that it does work, because it's kind of hard to get a textbook to say, you know, this will happen. You know, everyone else is shouting, you should do this, or put the inputs in, or, you know, to get rid of things.
Yeah, Joe's got a real natural ability or intuition, maybe, to allow things to happen themselves. I probably stand on the nervous side, the anxious side that wants to react. But he's very, very confident that things come good. And
so, Aoife, in summary, you don't have a monoculture farm. You have quite a diverse farm with a very diverse customer base, it sounds like. You're working alongside nature, but it's kind of all coming together to give you quite a resilient farm that employs local people and provides healthy, fresh food to your local community while remaining profitable. It sounds win-win to me. Would you agree?
Yeah, it sounds wonderful when you say it. I need you to say that every morning when I wake up. That would be great.
Your mantra. Yeah. Well done. You're doing a great job. Aoife O'Reilly, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Bridget.
Thanks to Aoife, and I'll put the links to her farm in the show notes. It's glassery.ie. We'll be back soon with another pod. Contact me on info@farmingfornature.ie, and please rate, review and share the podcast.